Some questions?
First question from Pavan Krishna Prabhu. Pariprashna means that we should ask our Gurudev sincere questions. How to learn to inquire more and even more correct and right questions. Where does this ability to inquire come from?
Out of service necessity, Srila Guru Maharaj quotes the sloka from Bhagavad Gita, Tadbidhi. It's about how to approach the lotus feet of Sri Guru. It's just something living and which addresses a living necessity. So it says, Tadbidhi pranipatena pariprajnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. So, beginning with pranipat, Srila Guru Maharaj says that Srila Saraswati Thakur says, really what it means is, I'm finished with the world of experience, the objective world, what the egoistic world, the egocentric world, and I'm where I'm trying to estimate what is my position to establish myself. Saying pranipat means I'm finished with that. Sometimes also Guru Maharaj said he referred to it as a one-way ticket, not cutting a return ticket. That you're keeping the second half of that ticket in your pocket. So, finished with the world of experience. What is that world of experience? That world which is based upon your own assessment of things. Pariprajna. And he says, honest inquiry. And that inquiry is not the way that we inquire for the purpose of exploitation, but inquiry based upon dedication, which means seva. So really earnest, honest inquiry is service related, not out of curiosity or some other purpose, but service necessity. So, and why? Because unlike mundane knowledge, in the case of mundane knowledge, like, and modern education, the idea is to become educated so that knowledge will serve you. You become educated so that you can be equipped to enter the world of exploitation and establish yourself there, and then try to extend the circumference of your exploiting capacity on the basis of what you've learned or the extent of your knowledge. This is the opposite of that. Coming in connection with a plane where it's not a question of data transfer, knowledge in the sense of information, but rather serving spirit, serving tendency. So one is to become a servant of that plane. Not that that plane shall serve one. There are so many inquiry that can be made. But when the object is to have that knowledge or that plane serve my lower interest, that's, you know, karma kanda at best and vikarma or something undesirable. So in the beginning of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after Sukadeva Goswami has been invited into this assembly, and we should point out that who is assembled there? There's Parikshit Maharaj, who as circumstances would have it, and we take it out of necessity of Leela, he has 7 days to live. So that's brought extreme earnestness and necessity to his inquiry. Just like Steve Jobs said that when he found out that he was terminally ill, that gave him great focus. So in a similar way, he knows 7 days he's sitting on the banks of the Jamuna, what becomes known as Sukhothal, and all these sages from all over the universe have assembled, and they're the leading exponents of varieties of spiritual practices, traditions, and what did I say? Burini, buri karmani, shrota vyani vibhagasa, ataksat hoti yatsaram, samudjit manishaya, bruhi badrayam badramte. There's so many suggestions in terms of what one can do. But everyone, on the basis of their conditioned life or struggle with existence, they're giving different types of recommendations. And so we're told that Parikshit Maharaj, his response is that what you're recommending to me, because his question in essence is, what am I to do now? What is the duty of one in life, specifically for one who's about to die? It means factoring in mortality. That should be the factor in answering this question. While you have life, what shall it be for? Elsewhere in the Bible, kamasya nendriya pritir labo jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jigyasa nartoyas chehu karmabhi. And how one should inquire properly. So, on the basis of their variegated response and recommendations, he's saying, I have a short time. Actually, no one knows how much time they have, but he knows that his time is short, 7 days. He's saying, and what you're advising to me could warrant a lifetime of practice. So get together and give me a consensus, and reach a consensus, and give me that advice. I want a unanimous verdict from the group. One person saying one thing, another person saying another thing. I need a unanimous verdict. So everybody meet, discuss, and come to this unanimous conclusion, verdict, and suggest that. At that time, Sukadeva Goswami appears. And as is given in Gita, Yanisha Sarvabhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Samyami. Who is awakened in that plane, they're, we can say, oblivious to this world. And those who are riveted to the mundane, they're oblivious to spiritual consideration, really. So materialists had a tendency to be unable to properly read Sukadeva Goswami and understand who he is. So they thought, this is some puggle person, a crazy man wandering here. Look at him, 16 years old, he's naked. What would anyone think? A 16-year-old naked boy wandering around. The children are making fun of him, throwing things at him. But these sages, they're adept in spiritual culture. It's mentioned they're experts in the art of physiognomy. And see, even on the physical structure of some, they can, there's certain symptoms that indicate someone of extraordinary spiritual capacity, and they're observing these signs in Sukadeva Goswami. And it's mentioned there on the pages of Bhagavatam, so it's not insignificant. And the beauty of Sukadeva Goswami is there beneath what superficially appears to be someone lost to the world or mad. But as Guru Maharaj would say, what is mad for the world of Einstein is like madness to an ordinary person, and perhaps vice versa. So seeing these extraordinary qualities and characteristics, and also he was legendary at this point, understood to be liberated within the womb of his mother. He was never under the influence of the mundane. So his qualifications in this regard exceeds everyone. So they offer him the presidential seat. And Parikshit Maharaj addresses this question, what is the duty of one in life, specifically for one who is about to die? So we know from the Padma Purana and elsewhere, Jalaja Navalakani Stavra Lakavingshati Krimaya Rudra Sankhyaka, etc., that human life is rarely achieved. 8,400,000 species, right, of which 400,000 considered human, 40,000 civilized. So it's a rare opportunity to evolve to this conscious position. So necessarily the duty for someone in that position is beyond the base necessities of existence. Ahara nidraya bhaya maitrinam cha, eating, sleeping, fearing, anxiety, reproduction. So Sukadeva Goswami, in answering Parikshit Maharaj, he's the verse with Nrinam Shanti Sahasrasha Apasyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Nrinam Shanti Sahasrasha. He said, there are thousands of questions that you can ask, that are being asked. Saying, but what about, an endless variety of subject matter that exercise the imaginations of human beings. He's saying, but the question that you've asked, this is the question that should be asked. There's so many that can be asked, but the question you're asking, this is the question, the most important question to be asked. And don't be concerned about how much time you have, how little time you have. And they mention Katvanga Maharaj, we're told, having rendered service to the devas in some particular fight between the devas and the asuras, that he was given a boon by them. And as he was accepting that boon, he asked, how much time do I have left to live? And they said, you know, a few moments. So getting that news, he took advantage of that. That catapulted him. That moment he used as a catalyst, it catapulted him into a stage of divine consciousness. So Sukadeva said, don't worry about that. But Srotavyas, Kirtitavyas, Cha, Smartavyas, Chechtatabhayam. If you use your time to hear about, to chant about, to remember Krishna, then you won't have to be worried about anything, about this world. So, Pariprajna, Pariprajnena, Sevaya. The real substantial spiritual question is related to seva. Yes.
The next question is from Shyam Vilas Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Why beauty is the ultimate controlling principle, not love or loving service?
No, that they're synonymous. Anandam, satyam shivam sundaram, sachid anandam. So sundaram, anandam, beauty, loving service, they're synonymous with one another. Krishna means the Lord of love. Beauty means prem, loving service. It's being compelled by the beauty of Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna, bhajaniya sarvashad guna vishishta, that one wants to engage in loving, affectionate service. So they're all interconnected, related to one another. So beauty, love, that when Guru Maharaj says that, that's what he means, is the ultimate controlling principle. Beauty, love, affection. And Krishna's beauty, love, and affection personified. That's what he's reciprocating. Beauty personified is reciprocating the loving affection of his devotees. Yes.
From Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we have heard about...
Where is the clock? Yes.
From Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we've heard about party spirit, which means...
About what?
Party spirit.
Party spirit.
Yes.
Okay.
Which means one tries to monopolize the truth. How to detect and eliminate it within yourself? Can such spirit appear within a small group or the disciples of one guru?
Of course, but Krishna is the truth. So we wouldn't think, it would be improper to think that we can control Krishna. That we have a monopoly on Krishna. No one can say that. We say, who are Krishna-loving people, aspiring servitors, that Srimati Radharani and her servitors, that if anyone has a monopoly on Krishna, that they do. And we're their aspiring servants. But... We understand Krishna, as declared in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, as janmadyasya yatonvayad itaratas cha arteshu abhigya svarat. He's independent. Gurman says, reality is for itself and by itself, for himself and by himself. Krishna exists to fulfill his own purpose. But fortunately, what his purpose is having loving pastimes with his devotees. So it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Everything's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. And all the worlds, he is the supreme controller. Right. But so that seems like, then what position do we have? Then the good news comes saying, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. And he's the dearmost friend of every living being. So who, for whom everything is meant for his enjoyment, who's controlling everything? We're told he's not inimical to you. All of this arrangement, and even we may meet with some unhappy events, he's not inimical to you, but rather he's your dearmost friend. And so Guru Maharaj will reference the Bhagavatam saying, Tattenukam pam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. If we look very carefully, Jai Srila Bhakti Vimalavadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. No problem, Maharaj. So it said, samiksha means to examine, to analyze, and susamiksha means to like scrutinize, to look even more deeply. Right? So it's saying, if you look very deeply, even some events that seem to be undesirable or upsetting, disturbing, upon, if we look deep and we're unhappy about that, if we look deeply, which means into the background, then we think, oh, Krishna, the sweet will of Krishna, Krishna's playing, like the time when Achyutananda, he's actually, Guru Maharaj sent him to find land in Mayapur. Think about it. So you can understand when that is. Guru Maharaj is saying for Srila Prabhupada and Chandradaya Mandir, saying he has some idea of some land that's available. So he is sent and he's staying with disciple of Srila Saraswati Thakur. We had the the honor to meet Damodar Maharaj. But and they're staying in, you know, a very simple arrangement. So Damodar Maharaj has to go to Calcutta. You know, this is in the bogue, there's a lock. And he didn't leave the key with Achyutananda. And this is probably 1967, 1968 or so. Chaitananda is a young teenager from America. So he, one day goes by, he's fasting. Another day, Damodar Maharaj hasn't come back from Calcutta, nothing to eat. So he decides to visit the Mat, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. And when he arrives there, there's Gurudev finds out he hasn't eaten, tells Guru Maharaj, they're very concerned, saying, why didn't you say something? And Guru Maharaj and Gurudev's hearts were melted by his answer, just saying, he's a young boy, 19-year-old, maybe, 1920, from America. The movement's a year or two old. What can he know? But he has such a high level of sukriti and development. So they asked Gochaitanya, why didn't you say something? And he said, Krishna's dancing. That's what he said. He didn't start finding fault with other people or the situation or giving a long story about what it was. He said, why didn't you say something? You're suffering for... Krishna is dancing. And you know, for 20, 30 years, Guru Maharaj and Gurudev are telling that story because that shows some Vaishnava quality. He's thinking, what does it mean? If for Krishna's pleasure, what is dance? Means ecstatic movement. If for that, then I don't want to interfere with that. But Krishna should stop the ecstatic movement for me? No. If I have to apparently suffer a little bit for Krishna's pleasure, I'm okay with that. I'm happy about that. When at just before the Rath Yatra, when Mahaprabhu and his devotees, the Gundicha Marjan, there's excitement. They haven't seen Jagannath for 2 weeks. Remember, for these devotees, that's unbearable. Because of the netrotsa, he goes in, you know, for 2 weeks. He's not seen after the bathing, the snanyatra. And Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they can hardly tolerate this. It's like their hearts are being squeezed. And then the time's coming just before Rath Yatra. So very happily, they're cleaning the Gundicha. Then they go to that Upal Bhog ceremony where they're seeing the netrotsava. Right now they're like, they nourish the deities and they're doubling the offerings. They're offering the Jagannath. And actually, it's indicated, they go to some place where maybe you don't normally go, where they can have a glimpse of the beauty of Jagannath and describe how beautiful he looks. Like a blue, deep blue sapphire, and his neck, just beautiful description, saying the devotees are like bumblebees drinking the nectar of the vision of Jagannath. And why did I say this? Because not seeing, what was I saying? There's a reason. Why? There's a connection between what I was saying. Krishna is dancing. What's pleasing to Krishna? No, I lost the train of thought. But, I know why. So then, when the bhog is offered, now you can't see, they have a kirtan. And we're told, they four parties, two mridangas in each party. So there's eight mridangas, 32 kartal players. And just think about it. Who are the mridanga players and the kartal players? The singers, the dancers, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, Srivas Thakur, the Pancha Tattva, basically. All these great devotees. How extraordinary. And it's called Prem Sankirtan. So it's not just like sweet sounding music. It's a Prem Sankirtan. Their voices are full of Krishna Prem. No one's ever heard anything like this. Kashi Mishra, Pratap Rudra, no one's ever heard a kirtan like this. It's extraordinary. And one of Dvaita Acharya's sons, Gopal, he's madly dancing and singing and to the point of where he's so ecstatic that he collapses. His dance is so intense. He collapses and faints, falls on the floor, and he's not breathing. And then everyone comes to all the devotees, they're becoming they're crying, they're wailing, they're sad, and Mahaprabhu comes and says, "Gopal, get up." And this, when Mahaprabhu tells, then he becomes awake, and they, have more ecstatic kirtan. Oh, but what I was saying was the time at Srivas Thakur's house, when we about divine movement, that dance means divine movement. Guru is saying, movement enhanced with beauty. Right? All of this is part of Krishna conception. The beauty, dance, sweetness, love, effect, all of it's inseparable from Krishna conception. Kataganam natam gamanam, where all speech is song, all movement is dance. As Gurumar said on the Brajamandal Parikrama, at one point they entered some place where Saraswati Thakur was taking his own, would sometimes take his own shoes, or if some devotee. So Gurumar had the shoes. And Saraswati Thakur came to him and said, he made a gesture and said, "Give them to me." That's all he said. "Give them to me." And Guru Maharaj said, this was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. The speech was like song, his movements were like dancing movements, and all he said was telling him to give him his shoes. And Guru Maharaj said, "I cannot convey to you how beautiful this was." So that plane, that movement, he said, Krishna's dancing. So when Mahaprabhu's dancing in the Srivasangam, and a similar event happens with his son, and we're told he's died, not only fainted, in that instance, died. But Srivas Thakur, he will not give any indication to Mahaprabhu that anything has happened. We're told in the outer room, his mother's there, relatives, they're wailing and crying. They tell Srimas Thakur that your son died. And he's saying, in the next room is, Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's in an ecstatic mood. Under no circumstances will we break that mood. Your son just died. I understand. This is not the time for that. The next room is Mahaprabhu with his ecstatic dance. And so they go on the night. Then at the end of hours of ecstatic dancing, Mahaprabhu comes to understand something happened. I said, "No, not to mine." Right? Krishna's dancing, they don't want to disturb. Then it comes, "Oh, Srivas Thakur's son died during the kirtan." Mahaprabhu, "Why didn't you tell me?" He didn't want to disturb you. First, Mahaprabhu says, where will I find someone like that? He said, someone who loves me that much, do you think I could ever abandon them under any circumstances? We know, he said, if Lakshmi Devi has to go begging to support Srivas Thakur and his family, that's what'll happen. Anyway, he said, then take me. They take him to the boy. He's saying, get up. And the boy, he comes to life and says, by your mercy, I'm going from one life to another. He starts preaching, and we're told he's the baby of Chitraketu in the Bhagavatam, who preaches to the lamenting wives of Chitraketu in the sixth canto. That pastime plays out in Chaitanya Leela this way, saying, life after life, life after life, according to my karmic circumstances, I'm wandering from one birth to another, from one situation to another, and I've come here for this time. It is all by your grace and your will. And also by your grace and your will, I will go on to another situation. He starts preaching in that way. But my point is that the devotees, whatever their situation is, they, as Achyutananda told, no, Krishna is dancing. They don't want to disturb that divine flow. So reality is for itself and by itself. That's Krishna's position. We don't think that that is our position, right? That we have a monopoly on the truth. We think, no, the devotees of Krishna, they do, and we're trying to serve them. So it's natural for us to favor them. We see in the case of Raghunath Das Goswami, he's so dedicated, exclusive devotee to Srimati Radharani, that Guru Maharaj said when Saraswati Thakur would hear these songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this particular song about, I think it's Ami Swananda Sukhada Kunja Basi, where he's saying, I live in Swananda Sukhada Kunja. He said, I don't like to see Chandravali's girlfriends, her sakhi, even see their faces, because they're scheming how to take Krishna away from Radharani. He said, if I hear their names, it is like a thunderbolt to my heart. And Guru Maharaj said, when Srila Saraswati Thakur would hear this, sometimes hearing the song being sung, his body would move like it was hitting him. That's how much feeling he had for that. We know Das Goswami, when they brought him buttermilk and a cup from that was not the normal leaf cup where they brought the buttermilk, he saw it was different and said, where is this from? And they said, Sakhi Stali, and that's the place of Chandravali and her group, that he threw it away, although that was his only sustenance, a little bit of buttermilk in a cup. Rather, he said, he detested that. So that type of devotion is there, that type of exclusiveness. But we shouldn't also think that we are that, right? Yes, we're like, we're the followers of Raghunath. Who are we, right? We're the follower of our mind and senses. We're very dedicated to our mind and senses. But we hear about the exclusive dedication of these higher devotees, and we think by the good fortune of Guru and Vaishnava, some service opportunity has come to me. Let me humbly offer myself and my energy in doing that service and not create any disturbance. When you speak of party, Guru Maharaj says, the ultimate party is Mahabhav's party. That's the ultimate party. He said, in that plane, it's the most exclusive, but the means of connecting people with that shall be most inclusive. Right. So we are newly recruited, recently connected with Krishna consciousness. Should we be in a position to exclude others? No, of course not. We should be happy for the service opportunities that come to us. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his speech, we should understand that his speech shouldn't be misinterpreted, because actually these were his parting words to a particular group, the Brahmo Society of Rohan Mahamori, who was trying to combine like Christianity and Hinduism, and this thing called the Brahmo Society. And he thought, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if I can get him, he could be our like future leader. That's what he thought. So he was very excited about having Bhaktivinoda Thakur in their group and as a future leader. And this speech that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave is where he's parting with them, right? And so on the one hand, he speaks of the Western savior, Jesus, and he says some favorable things, but then beautifully he segues to the Eastern savior, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And so at this point, he's expressing his allegiance to the Bhagwat school and the cult of Mahaprabhu. And that, and all of its implications. But it's natural for anyone who has nourished someone in Krishna consciousness, the recipient of that nourishment is going to be naturally grateful, because there's nothing that compares to Krishna consciousness. We see in the case of Srila Guru Maharaj how generous he was even with his godbrother Ananta Vasudev. And when people sometimes question this, he said, he helped promote my devotion to Prabhupada, meaning Saraswati Thakur. So where some focused on objectionable aspects of his behavior and personality, Guru Maharaj chose to reflect upon how he had helped him and helped promote his devotion. So that sort of seeing is more helpful to us. And it's a question of inner awakenment. Srila Guru Maharaj says, according to one's inner awakenment is how they see Sri Guru. What is that capacity? Any other question?
Yes, one more from Pavan Krishna Prabhu. Yeah. For what purpose do the Shastra, Guru, and Sadhu give us predictions? How do these predictions...
What prediction?
There will be soon.
Oh.
How do these predictions are connected with devotion? Predictions about the appearance of the avatars.
Well, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. There is a saying, it's found in Chaitanya Charitamritam, and one of Mahaprabhu was talking, maybe with Prakasananda, I forget exactly where. Or Sarvabhauma Gopinath, I'm not sure, but it says, avatar nahi kohi ami avatar. An avatar will never say, I'm an avatar. Right? So, well then, where will it be said who is an avatar? It'll be said in the scriptures. So, when it comes to the case of Mahaprabhu, Gopinatha Charja and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharja having a discussion, they quote the scriptures, because avatar nahi kohe nami avatar, an avatar will never say, then there has to be some means for verifying. Krishna varnam tusha krishnam, about Mahaprabhu, bande mahapurushate charanaravindam, suvarna varna hemango, Barangas, Chandanagadi, different things. The Vishnu Sahasranam, the Bhagavatam, and some other esoteric references. Prahlad in the seventh canto, etc. So, if their appearance was not indicated in the scriptures, if it was not predicted, then, I mean, we see already so many bogus people declaring themselves incarnations, avatars, etc. So, you know, you get to pull out your Bhagavatam and you can go, I don't think so. Nope, So, and to give some encouragement to the devotees of various ages and times. Like, sometimes we may say that, like, we want it to be more. But if we look in the first count of the Bhagavatam, it'll say, how many avatars are there? It says, they're as innumerable as the waves of the ocean. So Krishna's always, there are always avatars coming again and again, repeatedly, giving people in this world the opportunity to connect spiritually, get liberated from material existence, and enter the spiritual existence. So it has its necessity. Right? If there were not these references in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere, then Mahaprabhu is the Channa avatar, as given in the seventh canto by Prahlad, to begin with. His position is hidden, difficult to estimate, requires the spiritual experts, not only the scriptures with their predictions, but spiritual experts to interpret them. And it's very important and meaningful for us. Anything else?
This one, but it's not very clear. It's an interpretation of Bhaktivedanta made, but it's not clear
enough. Oh, okay. Okay. Maharaj, anything from your section?
Well, I mean, talking about avatars, I think Mahaprabhu take the most exalted position out of all the avatars.
Yeah.
And
Avatarasar Gora Avatar.
Then the question is why he comes that rare. Or we can say from another point is like why is the most valuable?
Yes. Well, again, we'll look, how is this presented to us? So in Chaitanya Charitamritam and the Bhagavatam, cross-referencing and the works of Rupa Goswami, and so they're mentioned about all the different types of, remember in Sanatana Shiksha, particular, and Sambandha Gyan Acharya, Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya, Sanatana Goswami, it's where it's discussed. All the different types of avatars that there are, you know, Purusha avatars, Leela avatars, Yuga avatars, Manvantars, you know, so many. So, and then we have to know something about Vedic time calculation. So from, again, cross-referencing Gita, Sahasra Yuga Parjantam Ahoryad Brahmano Vidu. What's a day of Brahma? 12 hours, 4,300,000,000 years, 24, 8,600,000,000 years. So say in this time period, so they narrow it down to a day of Brahma. Say in a day of Brahma, you know, there are so many Manus, right? Well, you know, the and Indras, right? And 14, right? And so they'll say in the what is it? The 27th Dibya Yuga. I mean, Dibya Yuga is the cycle of four. 27th Dibya Yuga of the Vaivasvata Manu. So out of the 14, like around 7, that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna will descend. They start with that. Saying, so once in a day of Brahma, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna comes. So on the one hand, we go, well, gosh, but it's 8,600,000,000 years. But from another point of view, it's like every day it happens. You're going like, it would be great if it happened every day. And they go, oh, it does. It happens every day. It's just not like your day. But there's another world. So once a day, original Krishna is coming. Every day. Right? It just happens to be a day of Brahma, but every day. And all those Dibya Yugas, the four, there's a Krishna avatar, a Gaura avatar, Mahaprabhu, but not Swayam Bhagavan. So they're saying once in a day of, there are these avatars coming all the time. Right? Innumerable as the waves of the ocean, but once in a day of Brahma at this time, 27th millennium, Dibya Yuga, 7th, Manu, Swayam Bhagavan, and it says there's an overlapping, because like Treta means three. So it should be Satya, Dwarpara, Treta, Kali. That's the way it goes normally. 1, 2, 3, 4, Satya, Dwarpara, 2, 3, Treta. Saying, but at this time, you know, for some mysterious reason, there's an over, these ages are in a different position. So it's Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpara Yuga. In that Dwarpara Yuga, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna will appear. Then, after that, Swayam Bhagavan, Gauranga Mahaprabhu will appear in that Kali Yuga. And what's the difference? Because it's saying, Anarpita Charim Chirat Koranai Avatirna, Koruna Avatirna, and Koruna Avatar, Koruna Avatirna Kalo, Samaparitam Unatojalam Swabhakti Sriyam, Hari Purita Sundar Duty Kadamba Sandipita, Sada Hridaye Spuratu, Kandare, Vasachinandana. Then he will come and give something that hasn't been given previously. And I take it to that mean in this day of Brahma. Right? Because if once in a day. Yeah. And Guru Maharaj mentions there's some reference to this of Sanatana Goswami in the Jiva Dharma on this subject. Anyway, so at that time he comes. And how is he? Radha Bhava Duty Subalita, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. Now he's, and the other Kali Yugas, when he is there, Mahaprabhu, we're told he's doing Nam Sankirtan. But the Radha Bhav, that's this one time.
So the question comes that we know there is original Krishna, which is always in Vrindavan, is Radharani.
Yes, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, yes, the right hand of Radharani.
Expansions such as Krishna Dvarakesh, yeah, who's in Dvaraka, Krishna Vasudev, who speaks Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
And, you know, all kinds of Krishna.
There's a Krishna in Vaikuntha.
Right, there's Krishna in Vaikuntha. But speaking about Mahaprabhu, we also know that Mahaprabhu has, it's an original form where he's tasting Radhabhav.
Yes.
And then there's Mahaprabhu as a preacher with his public server.
Yes.
And there's Mahaprabhu who's hiding. And,
yes.
You know, so.
And from Chaitanya Bhagavat, we hear about Gaur Narayan.
Right.
And with, you know, Lakshmi Priya.
Yes.
He's throwing some other type of pastime.
Yes. So can you define those differences of Mahaprabhu, different?
Well, I'm saying that much I can say that if, as an indication, and you can extrapolate from there, that he's sometimes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat referred to, you know, what is it? Vaikunteshwara, the Lord of Vaikuntha came, and as Gaur Narayan having pastimes with Lakshmi Priya. We see, you, if you, it's beyond my capacity, but we can see some certain things, we can see a development in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, that just as Krishna, we could say in comparison, Krishna has the Kumar Leela with like Nanda and Yashoda, and his baby to toddler pastimes. Then the Poganda, where he's with the cowherd boys and having his boyhood pastimes. then later, Kishore, he has his pastimes with the Braja Gopis. And there are slokas that will say, if he didn't have those pastimes, there wouldn't have ever been the fullest expression of his beauty, love, charm, and sweetness. That's when it comes. As charming as he is as a child, a toddler, a baby, a toddler, and then a child and a little boy, when he has these pastimes, that's full-blown Krishna, you know, fully expressed beauty, charm, sweetness, and seductive attractiveness. Right, that's the Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham, Shamasundar Krishna. So with Mahaprabhu, see, he has his childhood pastimes with Satyamata, and then as a little boy in Navadvip, and as a teenager, he's the arrogant, sometimes arrogant, Nimai Pandit. He has those type of pastimes. And we can say, although the inevitable ultimate expression is Radha Bhav, before that, there's different types of Bhakta Bhav. And remember, even the avatars, they're also his devotees. Like Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arsabritya, the Nityananda Tattva chapter in Charitamritam saying, he's Nityananda, but he's in the mood of a servant of Krishna. So they're also tasting Bhakta Bhav. So sometimes Mahaprabhu is showing us Murari to Murari Gupta. He's showing Varaha Dev, the Varaha avatar, sometimes playing like Ram Leela. Sometimes he's playing as Balaram. That's also mentioned. He's doing these things before, right? Before he takes, we see in that cusp period where he's about to take sannyas, some major type of transition is taking place. These pastimes up to that point could be interpreted variously. But we see when he comes back from Gaia and he starts entering this new phase, laying the groundwork for what are going to be these internal, more confidential pastimes that really are inaugurated with his taking sannyas. And even then, there's development after that. Remember, it's described as the Shesh Leela. I mean, that's if you combine Madhya and Antya, it's Shesh Leela, the final pastimes, but it's divided into Madhya and Antya. And the Madhya Leela being what transpires in those like first 6 years or so, having taken sannyas, traveling around preaching, but celebrating Rath Yatra, that's an indication of what's to come internally, but it's also coming once a year. He's trying to control himself in various ways. And then we're told in those last 18 years in Jagannath Puri, now he's situated there, and the last 12 specifically are just totally Radha Bhav, the depths of Radha Bhav in the Gangbira behind closed doors with Srup Damodar and Ramananda Roy.
Well, based on that statement, can we think that whatever Mahaprabhu is revealing is given inner fulfillment to all other avatars of Vaikuntha?
Yes.
Because otherwise,
like that song, Avatar Sargor Avatar?
Yes.
So we're told when Krishna appears, Rama's within Krishna, Nisringa, Varaha, everyone. So, and Avatar Sargor means the same thing for Mahaprabhu. All the avatars are there. So he can sometimes, in his play, express the mood of Varaha or Nisringa Dev. But we see when he goes into those last 12 years, particularly, he's not expressing other things. Then it's only Radha Bhav, incessantly.
But, I mean, based on that statement, we can also understand that maybe Advaita Acharya, who's Vishnu himself,
yeah,
or, you know, Shiva Sadashiva, who's like, you know, Narad, or, you know, the Brahma Haridas, and so, yeah, many others, they're actually like, for instance, Vishnu doesn't have any childish pastimes.
Child, yeah. Right.
So we can say that Mahaprabhu making their pastimes complete because participating in that kind of pastimes of Mahaprabhu,
they're
kind of getting a specific entrance to something that is not fully extended to them in Vrindavan, because basically they don't have any place in Vrindavan.
Yes. Yeah, you could say that.
So that kind of like giving them the pleasure of
participating and having those type of loving, ecstatic emotional interaction. Yes.
And maybe entering them to a particular mood of Krishna consciousness that's not there has not been able to taste in their regions of Vaikuntha or positions.
Yeah, it's like Shiva, we're told Shiva and Parvati disguised as a Brahmin and his wife, when he's going through South India, they meet, invite Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their house. It says, for 3 days with Shiva, he's having some, it just says, deep discussions. And you can imagine, that means from that, there could be a Sangita, a series of books, literature, just on the basis, what did they discuss? That's private and confidential.
We know Krishna Karnamrita has not been revealed before Mahaprabhu, and basically the author who wrote Krishna Karnamrita had been dying in Vrindavan. So the only person who could really write this book is Krishna himself, and that's reappearing through
Mahaprabhu. Through Bilba Mangal Thakur. Krishna Karnamrita.
Right.
But Bilba Mangal.
But Bilba Mangal Thakur was blind. How a blind person can write a book?
Well, the Kaviraj Goswami is practically blind, and he produces Chaitanya Charitamritam.
So, but according to Gurudev, what he said, that some people saying Mahaprabhu wrote all these books.
And yeah, Gurudev I'm saying, because then everything ultimately comes from Krishna. But what Guru Maharaj said, it was about Brahma Sangita, that people say, he said, some people say Mahaprabhu wrote this. And Guru Maharaj said, if that's true, then it's just like it got better. like it went up, in terms of its importance. But we take it as that it's the devotees, it's on the basis of the sort of devotion that's in their hearts that they're expressing these things.
Then out of this, one question comes about when Mahaprabhu entered.
Because when Krishna, just to be on a point, when Krishna's, say, how glorifying Krishna, how does that take place? Through Anantadev, through the Vedas, and these kind of ways, normally. But the most beautiful descriptions of Krishna and affectionate expressions of Krishna come from the hearts of his devotees. And therefore, they're actually giving something new and fresh.
Based on, different levels of Mahaprabhu pastimes, we also know when Mahaprabhu entering Jagannath Puri and breaking, breaking his danda, and he's entering through that Dangabanga river, which is, according to scriptures, is no different than Viraja. And Puridam considered to be a Vaikuntha, or a particular
Dwaraka.
Yes, Dwaraka. Yeah, Vaikuntha.
Vaikuntha in the general sense, spiritual world.
More defined way, we would say Dwaraka. Then Mahaprabhu is entering there, and there, new pastimes begin. Did the whole dam, does it get upgrade to Goloka, or how is that transformation happens? And because as we can understand, Mahaprabhu himself, as he's going towards that domain, he's changing, and specifically changing on the end of his pastimes. So how can we understand what's the environment at that time of Mahaprabhu relishing those deep pastimes and those devotees who's there?
Well, it's Jagannath. But see, it's necessary for it to be Dwaraka-like, to allow, to assist him in relishing those particular moods. You understand? If it became something else, then that's, it won't be helpful. So it needs to be the way Jagannath is as Jagannath. When he sees Jagannath, he sees Brajendranandan Krishna, Shyamasundar Krishna. But still, now we're back to the once a year, you know, or once kind of thing where in Dwaraka is where Krishna has this necessity to of feeling intense separation from Vrindavan. So that has to be there, and that's the place where Mahaprabhu goes, because he wants to plunge the depths of separation from Krishna.
But it's also, according to Brihad Bhagavatamritam and other scriptures, it says that the inhabitants of Dwaraka, they need the mood of Vrindavan. They inspiring for to test what is going on in Vrindavan.
Right, so Dwaraka has its necessity. Otherwise, we say, well, we'll just convert everything into Goloka. Then no more need for Dwaraka. We don't need Vaikuntha, nothing. We only have this. It's like Shantad, all of these things are necessary to allow for the deeper heart expression.
I understood about that. I mean, when Mahaprabhu is doing his divine pastimes, dancing, which means revealing like that, revealing something which is, we can compare with Rasa dance and Goloka Vrindavan, very hidden pastimes, but he's openly dancing in Ratha Yatra. He's revealing particular, you know, poetry, mood, which has not been before revealed by
Jagannath. And we see that for the most part, no one can understand that. No one is seeing that. Rupa Goswami is seeing that, Srup Damodar. It's confidential.
Does Jagannath seeing that?
Jagannath is seeing that. We're told Jagannath is astonished himself like this. So Dwaraka Krishna, if we take a Jagannath in that sense, I mean, it's something very mystical, but we're told that's why his cart stops and he's observing the ecstatic dance and mood of Mahaprabhu. It's astonishing him to see that.
My only point is when Mahaprabhu enters Puri, we know Puri is internally Dwaraka remains. As you explained, there's necessity for that, but still, his entrance to Dwaraka is producing a lot of ecstatic change. It makes revolution in Dwaraka.
Well, but what is there? As you say, he's revealing. So all of those gardens, which are tantamount to the forest of Vrindavan, the Gundicha, everything's taking on a new meaning. We know you can hear many stories about how Jagannath became Jagannath or Puri. And it's not that they're untrue. But interestingly, we know from the point of view of the Rupa Nuga line and Gaudiya Sampradaya, Mahaprabhu brought this, as you say. We don't say that 500 years before Mahaprabhu, they're celebrating this in the same way. They're not. We can conclude that they're not. If we say, no, there was one, there's always one mystic person somewhere, but it's unknown. And some of the things you're mentioning, we know even with Mahaprabhu's devotees, it's unknown. So Rupa Goswami is giving insight onto what's going on here. And since that time, we celebrate in this way. But so then before Mahaprabhu, they're also having Rath Yatra and these passing, but they're, according to their capacity, seeing in some other way.
So then it's like the answer that one day of Brahma, when Krishna checking in, things become a little different, because when he comes as Mahaprabhu, he's giving some unique way, not only for fallen souls like us, also for gods and goddesses to enjoy Krishna's pastimes and, you know, to reveal that task.
Yes.
because what we believe that it's not Krishna consciousness is not only for conditioned souls. It is mainly for liberated souls, and Mahaprabhu with Haridas Thakur talking about that on the way through Jatakanda forest and Haridas Thakur.
And Rupa Goswami's praise of Lalita, Sakhi Saint Yonkamapi, Brajagule, Rishabhanu Jaya, how she is canvassing people in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. They already have an eternal position. And she's canvassing them to join her group. And so on the one hand, she's canvassing. On the other hand, it's all, some are like submitting applications to enter.
But Maharaj, now a very practical question to the end of discussion, because knowing all these things and still being connected with material consciousness, what's wrong with us? Are we unable to appreciate these pastimes up to a particular extent and quality or depthness or like resolution?
Right, because we can understand these are, as Guru Maharaj would say, these are very high things. So we and as Prabhupada, when the Sri Dharma said, what were you and Sri Dharma was talking about? And Prabhupada said, he has very deep realizations of Krishna. You would faint. And Guru Maharaj would later say, yes, what does that mean? You won't be able to maintain consciousness in that plane. So you may have some momentary glimpse by the grace of Sadhu Shastra Guru or Vaishnav. So in the practical sense, then meanwhile, back on earth, right, then we're remembering that, and maybe it's left some hankering that that may come again if it's Krishna's will. A glimpse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it's like lightning. You know, when there's lightning in the dead of night, momentarily everything's revealed and illumined, and then it goes back to the regular position. So, you know, we don't have the capacity to remain conscious in that plane. But it may leave us with some healthy aspiration.
Last particle. Practical question. It seems like it says Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matih. It's very, very rare. You have to have very deep desire.
Yeah.
And you have to really be a connoisseur of that substance before you be able to appreciate in the full capacity. But how do we increase our taste with our present situation?
Sadhu Sangha Satovare. By superior association. Once Shyamananda Prabhu asked Guru Maharaj on this subject, and Guru Maharaj said, he translated lolyam, which is the word in this context, as hunger. So another taste is like hunger, because it's saying you got to have that genuine hunger. Then there will be taste. You say, how do we get the taste? Well, wait, you got to have the hunger, or there's not going to be any taste. So then Shyamananda Prabhu asked the next natural question. Then how do you get that hunger? And Guru Maharaj said, associate with the hungry. So when you're with that type of person who has some genuine hunger, then it will awaken that hunger in you. Then the hearing, etc., will be tasteful. Otherwise, without hunger, it's not tasteful. Hare Krishna.
Hopefully some hunger is
coming. And as Vaishnava Maharaj, Shruta Shrava Prabhu used to say, like, Gurudev, he could talk about prasadam like in such a way that after a feast, he could make you hungry again. We need to get the association of that type of Vaishnava. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, all right.